For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, beginning today a series of talks on transformation in Christ. In Romans 12, 2, we read, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Modern culture is a revolt against the Christian faith, aimed at putting the human being in the place of God. We are tempted to be preoccupied with ourselves. The providence of God in today's world is replaced by a philosophy of progress, guided by the power of science and technology, promising us a future of worldly happiness. We're told that real freedom is doing your own thing. We can choose according to our preferences or our perceived needs. I have a very remarkable letter here from a woman who was transformed in learning to treat her husband as she treated Christ. Now, that's a perfectly scriptural concept. Jesus says in Matthew 25:40, "Inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me." In other words, our treatment of others is our treatment of Christ. This woman realized that she needed to ask God to completely transform her attitude toward her husband. She said, "I wanted to learn to treat him as I would treat Christ. If he was ugly or lazy or disobedient, I used to get headaches trying to be quiet. Then I would put an imaginary blanket over his face so I would cover a multitude of sins and not bring them to mind. And I would try to see Christ there instead, still to respect Christ, because he wasn't always in behavior like Christ. In fact, for years and years, I've rested on this word. If any is disobedient to the word, let him be won as he beholds your pure conversation or your chaste character coupled with fear." She's quoting there from 1 Peter. If anyone is disobedient to the word, let him be won as he beholds your pure conversation or pure attitude. But the most victorious, more than a conqueror insight has been a quotation from E.B. Pusey. When my daughter Valerie had a miscarriage several years ago, she began then, well, I'm sure she had begun long before that, but it was another lesson in learning to offer her sufferings to the Lord. It was a great sorrow when that baby miscarried. And I think I must have talked on the radio about offering our sufferings to the Lord. So this lady says that she began then to become more than conqueror through offering her own suffering to God. "When I'm spoken to in an unkind way by," quote, "the very picture of Christ," unquote, and of course she's referring to her husband, "instead of pulling away, nursing my wounds, I can say, 'You, Heavenly Father, have put this upon me. It's from your dear hand, your appointed trial to me right now.' And an amazing miracle takes place. The sting is gone. Finally, at last. For 13 years, I've had headaches over how to respect and honor one that I did not respect and honor. This, I believe, is the key. He is the picture of Christ. I'm the bride of Christ. I respect Christ, and I must respect my husband as unto the Lord. As Mary Magdalene fed, washed, and ministered to Christ, so I am to minister to my husband. When he is disobedient to that picture in any way, I offer that suffering to the Lord as his dear trial for me to bear. An amazing victory takes place. All the previously inexperienced scriptures are fit into place and experienced. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My mind is set on the Spirit, which is life and peace. Oswald Chambers once said, "We often hang by the skin of our teeth and say, 'What a wonderful victory I have got.' But the Lord's way is more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Is this not a glorious way?" Well, I did it. I didn't give you any details of my husband's sins, but believe me, this concept has been an experienced insight. I believe truly I have a different-hearted husband than I had in all those years. Truly, life was hard for me. I won't say my marvelous spirit is what did it, for I failed and headached far too often. But I do feel I have a word of victory for sisters who struggle today. Our struggles aren't over, but I so treasure the wisdom gained in the trial now to share with others. I hope this same truth will work if persecution comes here. I fear my weakness in this, but I believe God must be faithful and must rest on him to show himself strong in my poverty. Thank you, Elizabeth. And of course, when anyone says thank you to me for some truth of God that I have articulated for them, all I can say is, to God be the glory. It wasn't my word. It was God's word. And he has given me the tremendous privilege of giving you his word. When we begin to dictate to God about what we need, we're in trouble, because we think we need a whole lot of things that God has not given us. For example, love. I have many letters from women who say they need love. Well, that's true. We all need love. Do we all need human love? Does every woman need the love of a husband? Does every married woman need the love of children? If God knows that your need is that particular person or that particular child, God will give you that person or that child. But our supreme need, that which takes precedence over all other needs, is God. When we tell God what we need, and God denies us, that may invite a violent outbreak of dissatisfaction. If we truly want to walk with Christ, our lives must be substantively different and propose a difference in how people live. The plausible and persuaded presentation of Christian distinctiveness is not a matter of marketing. It's a matter of what the people owe. It is a matter of what the churches owe to the people in a secular society. The proclamation of the risen Christ, the joyful evidence of new life in Christ, of life that overcomes death. It's not just the churches, of course, that are responsible to proclaim the risen Christ and the joyful evidence of new life in Christ. It's you and I. It's the visible sign in our lives of a visible reality. I've had many letters of renewed marriage. How I thank God for these testimonies. Here's another one. I would like to ask for your help and advice. We were married in 1990. He believes the Lord did lead us to one after another. That's another story. My husband professed his faith to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had also. shortly after we were married, my husband started to drink, and then to stay out all night, and drink and not call me. Then came the DUI, driving under the influence. And she goes on to tell me some more sad things about their life. Twice we were made homeless through the lack of funds to pay rent. By now we have a small little child, no more than 1 year old. Then, at the present time, he is 5 years old and my husband is in prison. But God changed my heart. In January 1995, God changed my heart toward my husband. I realized I was angry and upset and really didn't want to be married to him anymore. I gave up my anger and my attitude of injustice and submitted this marriage completely to God for his keeping and healing and building and bringing my husband and me under his authority. I have to tell you, Elizabeth, my heart started healing and changing towards my husband and our marriage. My life has been a storm, a hurricane, a tornado in these past months. But I can say that if I didn't have even a speck of faith in Jesus and God my Father, I could not have endured it. My son and I both are still healing from abuse and anger, and for me, moments of depression. But Jesus brings me out of it. Now I ask for your advice and help. And she goes on, but she ends the letter by saying, God has blessed me with a new husband and father for our son. You are welcome to use any part of this letter in serving the Lord. I'm so grateful for your letters, and I'm encouraged and helped by them so often as I was by this letter. Transformation in Christ so evident in this woman's story.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.